Just like about a month ago, February 14, we celebrated Valentine's Day. I did a search on the statistics. It says in America, a total of $17.6 billion was spent for people buying Valentine gifts. Well, you might think that is a lot of money, but if you divide it into individual person, it averages out to be about $126 per person. Now, spending $126 per person for Valentine gifts, is that too much? Well, I think the right answer, the obvious answer is, it all depends, right? It depends on who is your Valentine and what kind of gifts you want to buy. Like if you spend $126 on flowers alone, maybe it's very expensive, you get very elaborate. But if you spend it on expensive dinner, maybe so-so. But if you want to just spend $126 on jewelry, then you won't get too far. It really depends on who is your Valentine, how much you want to spend, like what you want to spend on. If it is one of the person that is dearly in your heart, maybe you want to spend a lot more. But if it is just to fulfill a duty, you know, just go along with the flow, then maybe 20 bucks would be too much. In today's context, it is something similar. A woman has spent a very extravagant gift on Jesus, and that causes a controversy. Is it too much? She pour out all this expensive perfume on him, all used up in one shot. Some people said, what a waste. Is it too much? How do we look at it? How do we understand it? This story actually, similar story, parallel story was repeated in Mark and in John. The parallel story in John gives us a little bit more detail. It tells us that the woman's name is Mary. And it says the perfume's worth is actually here it says it's very high price. But in John, actually it says it's worth about a man's yearly wage. Let's assume if an average Canadian makes $50,000 a year. So that means imagine that this woman, Mary, just throw away or just use up $50,000 worth of really expensive perfume anointed on Jesus. Why this waste, you may ask? $50,000 can be used just like for a lot of better cause, to feed the poor, to help out the depressed. So how do you look at it? Well, in the passage, how would Jesus look at it? Actually, when you look at Jesus' comment, Jesus look at this woman's, Mary's action is a very positive light. He says she has done a beautiful thing on me. And Jesus actually lift up her devotion to Jesus, to him, as a model for others to follow. He says, from verse 13, he says, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. So Jesus obviously is really he's appreciative, and I think that she is something like a model for us to follow, to remember of doing it. Do you think Jesus just told us because this expensive gift was spent on him? I don't think so. Jesus is the creator of the world. You know, Jesus doesn't need anything from us. But Jesus appreciates and give a positive opinion on what this woman did. So how do we justify such an expensive gift to Jesus? The key in understanding this passage and this gift is on the purpose, the reason why of how this woman offered this gift. In verse 12, this text calls, when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Mary offered this gift in response to what Jesus' death, the cross, meant to her. And that is why she offered the best to Jesus, because she realized that Jesus is going to die for her. We are now in the season of Lent. Lent is a season for Christians to remember death, Jesus' death for us. It's a season for us to search our soul on our relationship with Jesus and our devotion to him. How we understand Jesus' death, his cross, will determine of what we think, how much is Jesus worth. The cross is central to Jesus' mission on earth. And Jesus has taught his disciples many times before. Let's take a quick rundown to it. Let's turn to Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, while the disciples and Jesus were walking in the region of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people think the Son of Man is? You probably remember that passage. Some said, oh, you are the prophet, Elijah, or some other. And Jesus asked, what do you think about me? And you probably remember the famous answer Peter said. Peter is the one who speaks out and says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's right. But then in verse 21 of chapter 16, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the laws, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Verse 22. Peter then took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind of the things of God, but the things of men." You see, when Jesus talked about the cross, the disciples want Jesus to have none of it. The disciples want to have a Christ without the cross. But Jesus says, "That's impossible. You are not following the will of God." Again, further on in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus repeatedly predicted his death. In chapter 17, in chapter 20, and finally in today's chapter 26. In verse 1 and 2, just before this story that today we have of Mary anointing Jesus, before the Passover meal, chapter 26, verse 1 and 2. When Jesus has finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." To be crucified is by kneeling on the cross. You see, Jesus have already told the disciples many times that he will be handed to death, to be crucified, and on the third day he will rise. But the disciples hear it, don't understand it. How we understand the cross will determine how we understand whether Mary's gift is a waste or a beautiful thing. That's the key. Because the disciple who understands the cross will ask, "How much can I give?" Again, let me repeat. If you are a disciple who understands the cross, you will ask, "How much can I give?" I guess to some of you, maybe the first question you have in mind is, does Mary really understand Jesus' cross? How do we understand that Mary was motivated by what Jesus will do to the cross? Is Mary's gift really a response as a contribution to his burial, like Jesus said? The scripture did not get a very explicit, definitive answer, yes or no. But Jesus seems to suggest that Mary understands. Furthermore, don't forget, Mary is the one who constantly sits at Jesus' feet to listen to him. Remember, there's a story that once Mary and Martha, her sister, was hosting Jesus. You know, Martha was busy doing things and worried about many things. Yet Mary just sit at Jesus' feet. So Mary could be the one who just loved to listen to Jesus and contemplate, reflect on Jesus or his teaching. Maybe Mary is the one of the few disciples, despite the other 12, who truly understand what Jesus' mission, Jesus' heart in this world. In John 12, the parallel story, it mentioned that the dinner was given in honor of Jesus at the home of Simon the leper. Probably it means the Simon the healed leper. I don't think anybody wants to go to a house with a leper. Really is active. And it also tells that in that dinner, Lazarus was also invited as a guest of honor. And Lazarus is a man who just recently resurrected by Jesus. He was in the grave for 4 days. So imagine Mary must be thinking about who this Jesus is. So it should be very reasonable that Jesus, willing to offer this extravagant gift to Jesus in response to her love for Christ, because she had spent so much time learning from Jesus and thinking about him. Imagine, what can you offer to the King of Kings who loved you and came to this earth to die for you? Is a $50,000 perfume too much? If so, it really depends. What can you offer to the world, to the creator of the universe? What kind of gift would be appropriate? Yet many of the dinner table felt that Mary's worship was expensive. Perhaps the reason why we pour out so little before Christ is because we have filled up so little from Christ. Let me tell you a little story that I saw in a gospel tract. Two fathers who each have a son, son A and son B. The two sons went to the sea to swim. And son A was almost drowned, you know, at risk in the water. So son B went out to rescue him. As a result, son A was rescued. But unfortunately, son B was drowned because he sacrificed his life to save his friend. So imagine the father of son A tried to comfort son B, the father of son B. He said, "Oh, I know how you feel. I'm sad for you. No, okay, here. Let me offer you $20. Hope they'll make you feel better. What do you think?" That would be totally inappropriate, right? Same reason. At Valentine, if you just buy gifts just to stay out of trouble, you will have a hard time choosing what gifts to make. But if you have a love, dearly loved one, you would not consider the cost. And this is the same for worship and ministry. If you come today to worship just because you feel obligated, Just because you don't want other people to say that you are a bad Christian, or you are not grateful for Jesus, then I will tell you, even waking up at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning is difficult. The disciples who understand the cross would ask, how much can I give? Then, on the other side, the disciples who do not understand the cross will ask, how much can I get? Judas, one of the 12, went to see the high priest. They are the enemies of Jesus. And asked, how much will you give me? What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? It turned out that they offered him 30 silver coins. You know what that 30 silver coins? Does it sound familiar? The Bible actually talks a lot about 30 silver coins. Because in the Old Testament, it was well established that if you kill a slave by accident, in Exodus 21, it actually says that if a bull gored a male or female slave by accident, the owner of this bull must pay the owner, the master of the slave, 30 shekels of silver. So 30 silver coins is actually the going rate for dead slaves. And that's exactly what the high priest offered to Judas. And Judas gladly take it to hand over, betray his master for the price of a dead slave. You see, Judas is not ready to follow a master who embraced the cross and who demands him and us to do the same to follow him. The cross is always a stumbling block for the faithless. Anyone who tries to follow Jesus without the cross at the center of relationship will in the end not have Jesus at all. So what is this cross that Jesus wants us to embrace? It is to surrender our life to Jesus and to follow his will rather than our will. Even today, there are disciples who have embraced Jesus because they want to have their life better, not because they want the cross. They are like seeds that were thrown on a rocky soil that quickly wither under the sun. Or like seeds that was planted in thorny patches, that whenever there's persecution, difficulty, disappointment, they will wither away. Have you been disappointed by prayers, not answered the way you want? Or have you indulged in sins that you don't want to give up? You rather give up Jesus than give up your indulgence. I suspect there are some Judas genes in most of us. That's why we need this season of Lent to search out our soul. So at the end of this sermon, if the Holy Spirit touch you, I encourage you to do something, to offer something extravagant to Jesus. Maybe you choose to fast, pray, read the scripture for an extended period of time. It says, I need to refresh my soul. Or maybe you can give up some habits that you know that it's not pleasing to the Lord, and ask the power of the Holy Spirit to help you overcome this. Or you can offer a special gift or service to someone in the name of Jesus. Oh, this is a good time. We are celebrating 30 years anniversary. I don't know whether how excited you are, whether you are excited as I am. No, we see the banquet, the major renovation in our church. Offer something significant to the church to express your gratitude, to contribute, to help out to the expenses. Ask the Holy Spirit, but don't begin by thinking about your gift. Begin by thinking about His gift, His death on the cross, until your heart is filled to the brim, and then search for some perfume that you would like to pour out to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you in your weakness and dullness. How wonderful it would be to sense Jesus saying to you, you have done a beautiful thing to me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, when we come before you to the cross, may our hearts be touched, our life renewed by your love, by your sacrifice, so that we are like Mary, who wants to offer our best, our life to you in response to your love. Thank you, Lord, for first loving us. We thank you. In Jesus' name.